A few years ago, animator John Lasseter exchanged his colored pencils and sheets of rough paper for a computer. Lasseter's last film, Tin Toy, won the 1988 Academy Award for Best Animated Short Feature, the first time a computer-generated film won the Oscar. Lasseter got his start doing traditional animation at the Walt Disney Studios, but his growing interest in computer animation led him to a job at Lucasfilm. Now he's with Pixar, a computer graphics company owned by Steve Jobs. In his early computer animation, Lasseter brought inanimate objects to life, a family of lamps in Luxo Jr., and a unicycle in Red's Dream. But in his latest, Tin Toy, he created a computer-animated baby. I wanted to know if animating a human is an especially difficult task.
In the computer, it is, because a computer has difficulty doing very organic shapes. The computer likes to do things, you know, that are very perfect. And the baby, of course, is very organic. Also, what's difficult about it is that, from the audience standpoint, they know what a human looks like. They know what a human moves like. And so, as an animator, trying to do something that becomes convincing for the audience, it's very difficult. The old animators at Disney used to always complain about being assigned animating the prince in whatever fairy tale they were working on. They'd rather do the talking rabbits and things like that, because no one knows what a talking rabbit moves like. So,
how close do you think you got with the baby?
We're kind of still a ways away. I think the story was that the baby was really like a baby monster, so we were able to...
Right, like the hulking baby.
Yeah, right. So we were able to make it kind of horrific looking, you know, in a way. You know, as far as like trying to reproduce humans with computers, we're still a long ways away from it. And to be honest, I'm not sure if I, you know, that's the direction we should go. And we have a little slogan saying reality is just a convenient measure of complexity, you know, so that's a way that we can focus in on developing the proper tools.
Let me ask you a few really stupid questions, okay?
Oh, great. Say, I love
say you're doing the baby for Tin Toy. Do you draw the baby? Or do you feed in a picture of a baby? What's the origination of the image?
All right. In the 3D computer animation that I do, there is no drawing except in the preliminary stages. What we do is there's three basic steps. There's a modeling stage where you create within the computer a model, a three-dimensional model of the baby. The next stage is animation, where you take, and very much like moving a G.I. Joe around, you know, it's like you animate the rotations of the shoulder and elbows and so on. The third stage is a rendering stage. And that's a stage where you take every surface that you've modeled, and you have to indicate a color. You have to indicate how shiny it is, whether it's got a texture like a wood grain on it or not. And then you have light sources that you give. You say, okay, what color the light is, how bright the light is, how far does it drop off, and so on, and whether it's got shadows or not. And that is... And then you let the computer, once you've done all that, then you let the computer sort of go and compute the final image and create sort of, you know, the colored image with the shading and shadows.
Okay, another really stupid question. When you're indicating to the computer what color it is, you're putting in a little bit of that color, right? You're not typing in blue.
No, I'm not typing in blue. I'm actually typing in values of red, green, and blue. Like a nice blue would be about, I'd say, like, out of between 1 and 100, it would be like 20, 10, and 80. That's a really nice blue that we use all the time.
So still, you're typing, basically. You don't have a paintbrush in your hand.
Correct. Sometimes I do long... My background is in traditional drawing and painting and so on, and sometimes I really long for the feeling of, a 6B pencil on a rough-tooth paper. You know, there's that wonderful feeling you have. And so, needless to say, all my notes that I write now are with 6B pencils on very rough paper.
Well, since you've described what it's like to animate a human, let's talk about computer animation of an inanimate object and giving the inanimate object some human type of characteristics, lifelike characteristics. Your cartoon Luxo. Let's look at that. It's about
Luxo Jr.
It's about a parent and child lamp, two lamps.
Right.
And describe what a Luxo lamp looks like.
Luxo lamp is the they're commonly known as like an architect's lamp. They're sort of the lamps that clamp onto the side of a desk and can bend way over. They got the springs and the long rods on them. And Luxo Jr. was actually started when I was trying to find something to model within the computer. I had a Luxo lamp on my desk, and so I just started modeling that. And then started this second stage, I was started animating it and giving it life. I love to give inanimate objects sort of a personality. See, with computer animation, I think there's a lot of people that get excited about computer animation purely for the fact that it's created with a computer. And what I wanted to do, my background is in traditional animation, I wanted to very much to make this something to where people didn't look at it because it's made with a computer, but because of the characters and the story.
I think the most obvious cliched way of bringing a lamp to life in a cartoon would be to give it a face so it could smile, right, or frown, give it eyes so it could cry.
Sure.
Now, you brought these to life without doing that. They looked just like lamps. But what kinds of considerations came into play in giving the lamps charisma?
Charisma. Well, I studied a lot in school and through my career, like Buster Keaton and Charlie Chaplin in their sense of pantomime.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess when I create a character, I always think about the personality. I try to get that solid in my mind before I do any of the animation. So when the character starts to do something, I sort of imagine what this character, how it would do it. And especially when comparing two characters like a baby and a parent as the two lamps, you know, I just wanted to give it some pathos and that warm and fuzzy feeling, you know, after he pops the ball.
What can computer animation do that hand-drawn animation can't?
When I first started working with computer animation, I really felt like, you know, the best thing about computer animation is the most difficult thing to do with hand-drawn animation and vice versa. Now, what computer animation can do is it can create really three-dimensional objects and move around those, and they stay completely rigid. They can shade, shadow, you know, light things. They can give almost a realistic quality to objects that you then can animate. That is very difficult to do with hand animation, to create real, like, airbrush-style shading on the characters that doesn't jitter over through the animation. The difficult thing to do with computer animation that's easy to do with hand-drawn animation is organic shapes and moving those shapes around. Like, you know, most of the Disney characters are just these really wonderfully kind of squishy characters in a sense, and they move around. They have a sense of solidity to them, but they're real flexible. To try to do that with a computer, it's really quite difficult. The baby in Tintoy was our sort of first attempt at that character, and I see it as just a beginning. We have a long way to go in working with those types of characters with a computer.
Is there a big generation gap now forming between the older animators who are working with drawing animation and the younger animators who are going into computers?
Actually, no, I don't find that. There was before my work started appearing with computer animation, because I think a lot of people working with computer animation were the same people that were developing the tools, the programs, and it's kind of like, you know, all the paintings being done by the chemists who create the paint.
Yeah.
You know, and so once I started working with a medium, a lot of the old animators, namely two good friends of mine who are like my mentors, are Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnson, two of the great Disney animators. They look at the work that I do and are very envious. Ollie told me, he goes, "Oh, I wish I was young again. This is really exciting." Seeing this is like one of the first new technical advances within animation in probably, you know, 40 years or so.
If you had your way, would you be making cartoons that would look so real you'd think they were a movie?
If I had my way,
yes.
I would create animation that had a quality that people would sit there and look at and go, "Is this real?" You know, but obviously it wouldn't be real. I don't want to create animation that is just sort of reproducing, you know, old actors or reproducing reality in just an easy way. I want to get that sort of paradox within the audience where they're sitting there. How was this made? What, you know? Yet that wasn't the focus of the film. The focus is the characters and the fact that they're moving the audience in some way or another.
Do you think regular animation will ever become obsolete?
Oh, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
See, the thing is with a computer, it's not replacing anything. It's a new tool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's as though someone came up with a really cool new pencil. That's what I look at it. A computer is just a cool new pencil. And it can do things really well that other mediums in animation cannot. But it cannot replace everything. You know, and I really look at the future is in the combination of traditional animation with computer animation, with model animation, and so on. You know, that style of animation is very, as I think, you know, going to be very exciting in the future.
Animator John Lasseter.